There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Tonight, everybody. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you. Another earthquake in Nepal and a train crash in Philadelphia. They're still combing through that. At least 5 people dead, 6 people critically injured, and scores of others that have been taken to the hospital. It was traveling from D.C. to New York, and it crashed just outside of Philly. And eyewitnesses say it was just an eerie thing. It sounded as though it was coming right through the gates, even further off the track. It ended up tipping over on its side. And picture, if you will, you're on a train, and you know there's no seatbelts, and it's kind of a boxy situation with lots of windows, and it flips over, and it's just in an instant your world changes. So just a terrible thing. There's even some video, because we live in the world of the cell phone now, where they operate as cameras. So some people took video of what was happening, mostly in the front of that train. They really bore the brunt of it. Some of the back cars, not quite as bad. Terrible situation in Nepal. Another earthquake. Dozens of people killed. They don't even know for sure how many. 7.3. I think the people in Nepal were, I'm certain, are in shock after they just got through with this a couple of weeks ago. There's a military helicopter, a U.S. Marine helicopter, that's missing in this earthquake. They were on an aid mission, so can't find that helicopter. That's frightening. And there are some other terrible stories of people missing, and of course, the frantic efforts to try to find them. And there were lots of news crews, I shouldn't say lots, but a handful, who were filming stories and were there doing stories on the first earthquake when another earthquake hits. It doesn't get any worse than that, does it? I mean, that is rough. You're there to talk to the people about how the earth opened up and how thousands died in this and how terrible it is, and trying to put the pieces back together, and then you're hit with another earthquake. Wow. I mean, that's all you can say. It's sad. Terrible, terrible stuff. And in the meantime, the beat goes on. The beat of politics and the race for 2016, who's going to jump in and who may be on the sidelines. Iraq suddenly has become, just for a day or two, a little bit of a hot topic, because Jeb Bush is kind of in damage control after he made the Iraq question, saying, you know, would he have gone into New York? Would he have gone into Iraq? And the answer would be no. And then, whoops, that's right, my brother. Oh, that's right, weapons of mass destruction. Saying he misheard the question. Apparently, there's a little controversy that dusted up after that. So Chris Christie had something to say. We're going to let you hear what he had to say at the tail end of this hour. And also coming up, we're going to talk to a woman who grew up in Amman, Jordan, who grew up in the ways of the Middle East, married a Middle Eastern man, moved to the United States and decided, wow, I don't want to do this anymore. And what it took to pry herself away from that, and what it's like to be a woman living in one of those countries, and what's expected of you, and what ultimately happened with her family when she divorced her Jordanian husband. And she's really an empowering woman who has done a TEDx talk, and she's helping other people, not even just the women in the Middle East, but helping other people to get out of really sticky situations where they feel like they're trapped. So Dima Gawi is her name, and she's coming up in our next segment to talk about, again, life as a Middle Eastern child growing up with expectations then moving to the United States and seeing how things change. Speaking of the Middle East, the Pentagon is monitoring another Iranian cargo ship headed toward Yemen. I mean, what's going on with Iran? So we totally snub Israel, right? And Netanyahu, in a sense, more than in a sense. We've got this deadline looming at the end of June. And now we have the White House and the Pentagon saying that, yes, we're looking at this cargo ship that's, well, headed in the direction of Yemen. This is coming just days after we tracked a suspected arms shipment in that area. Okay, so what does that mean? Now, this shipment, they say this ship, anyway, could be carrying more than relief supplies to the Yemeni people. And they can't really say whether the ship might have weapons on board or not. They know it has supplies for the people, but they think it could also have arms. So if it's carrying aid, that's one thing. If it's carrying more than that, that's a provoking act on Iran's part. So what does the White House say? Well, it's the same thing. We're monitoring the shipment. How do you monitor the shipment? You watch the ship go across the scope. You debate whether or not you think it has more than humanitarian assistance on board. And then what? You decide whether or not you're going to take it down. I mean, it's defying the whole UN system. It is pretty provocative. And doesn't that risk the collapse of this ceasefire? I would think it would. But they're monitoring it for whatever that's worth. I mean, are the Iranians trying to pull some kind of a stunt or not? I mean, the cargo ship is not like the last convoy. It is an Iranian flag commercial vessel, basically, owned by the Islamic Republic of Iran, the shipping lane, and it doesn't have an escort. I think it could be suspicious, but unless we board it, we won't know for sure. I don't know how you can know for sure. You can watch what's coming off and then try to figure that out as the last shipment. But the official report coming out of D.C. is, when pressed, there is no reason to believe the ship is carrying anything except for what they say it is, supplies. Because no escort. So they're saying the opposite. I say that's a decoy. That's the way to decoy things. And if they're not tracking any other ships headed in that direction, well, then there's got to be a reason why they're doing that. Because, of course, see, this is when you dig a little bit deeper. So you ask the Pentagon for more. You start to question them. Okay, we answer this question, answer this question. Well, you're monitoring the ship. Well, do you monitor all ships or are you monitoring this? Oh, we monitor everything. We monitor the activities of all of the traffic in the region. But we're not tracking any other ships when you press us except for this one. But we monitor all ships. That's when they're not on the same page and somebody says one thing and somebody else says, whoops. I don't know that we were supposed to say that. I think we're supposed to say, no matter what, we monitor all the ships. All right, stay with us. Really and truly an interesting story coming up on the flip side here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Numbers dropping all over the place. The nuns, meaning the N-O-N-E-S, starting to pop up on the rise. And then some of the conversation about Iraq. We're going to let you hear what Chris Christie said coming up in our next hour in our conversation with a Jordanian woman who tells you like it is, that what it was like to grow up in a certain environment with expectations, move to the United States and say, wow, how oppressive. 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. More reasons when we complain about what's happening in the United States to just say, you know, no matter what, we still live in the best country on the face of the earth. Greg in South Carolina. Hi, Greg. How are you?
Good. Doing okay. You can trace everything, especially that median age, back to 62-63, where Bible and prayer was removed from the public school system's curriculum. And then why do you have more nuns today? The NEA was specifically founded so that anybody in the public school systems even hinting on anything related to a creation story in a science class will get fired or otherwise reprimanded. Also, in upper academia, if you're in a science of any sort, and even hint of any sort of creation possibility, you are censored or you are fired. As a result, the culture, I'm sorry, I should let you speak, but the culture says none. So there's, you know, as a result, we got the rise of the nuns. They're being taught that way from elementary school on up.
You know what, that is true. Because before, here's what I still don't understand, Greg. Why can't things be offered the way they were? And if you don't believe in it, why do you have to participate? I can remember that there were people in the school that I went to, they didn't participate. There wasn't a problem with pledging allegiance and saying under God. There wasn't all these issues.
Like the ACLU, who want the minority to control the issue or the discussion. They'll just go ahead and sue and sue and sue until nobody wants to bother with the lawyers or nobody's got the money to bother with it. And this is also why we've got the rising of the different social issues going wrong as well. And, you know, we're to the point where we've got the homosexual agenda changing the political scene as well because of the departure and the rise of, you know, departure of biblical education in the general society, which our founders said was necessary for our political scheme to maintain itself. And if you'll notice, the general population is getting more and more accepting of what is less and less of a republic and more of a socialist democrat system.
Yeah, so that's a good question to ask. What, for everybody listening and listening to what Greg's saying, what's your take on that? Is it a giant shift? Is it, are we really seeing a momentous shift in this country?
855-266-5283. You've got the politicians.
But the politicians are saying, they just did a poll of the politicians, and they're all saying they're Christians unless they're Jewish and there's one Muslim.
But if you go by profession and actual daily existence, you may find different. Have they taken the Barna poll for whether or not they're a Christian?
Yeah, no, I doubt it.
Okay, unless they've been subjected to that, it's just their say-so, or they're cultural Christians and not real Christians.
Yeah, that's interesting. Cultural Christians, to me, that means part of that is, Greg, you know, if you want to get elected in certain areas, you look at the base of your constituents and say what's the right thing to say so that you're playing to the people to get elected.
There you go.
Yeah.
We have no faith behind their life.
Yeah.
Or they do, but it's an unfaith.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I think if you're somebody who preaches for a living, you got to be looking out at this. And I said this to somebody the other day, that they got to figure out ways to embrace the younger people. They got to figure out a way to, I mean, because let's face it, if it's an atrophy problem, then some people aren't doing some things right either. They need to reach out.
Well, yes, they need to reach out, but in a way that they ask our missionaries to do, but they won't do at home.
Yeah.
Which is an increase and rebuilding of the Christian public educational system for K through 12.
Yeah.
It was the backbone for what became our public school system today. And you see, the preachers back then said, you throw out the Bible and God, we're taking our kids back. 62 to 63 happened, and guess what? The churches didn't take their kids back.
Yeah. Yeah, you make some interesting points. Absolutely, Greg. Thanks for the call. You know, in what we've seen and what's happened, as I said, I was raised with a very wonderful, open-minded family where there are things that you embrace in other people and differences, and you have tolerance. But when you have tolerance, you also could have prayer. You could be, you could say under God. You could, you didn't have all this crazy over the top PC ridiculous swing in the other direction, which is a huge, huge problem. Grim, hello.
Well, you kind of nailed it there. Open-mindedness is what allowed this to come in, Kate. But then, once we allowed it to come in, ACLU and everybody else, for fear of lawsuits and whatnot, closed the door to open-mindedness. But yet now, AFN and certain Christian movements are doing the same tactics because it boils down to one thing. They're all screaming, you're infringing upon my rights. Well, you're infringing upon ours now.
Yeah.
Right back at you.
And yeah.
It's going to be a tug of war, and you know, that'll settle out in the dust. But I called tonight to update you on the two Hattiesburg cops. They got FBI down here doing the investigation because after the shooting, the perpetrator ran. And he ran several blocks through the woods and whatnot, and they're looking for the weapon, and they have yet to find it. They didn't find it today, but I found this real interesting. They are searching for two people of interest. Now, they had an abandoned SUV at some motel that the police have, but they haven't found these two people. Now, that's just leaving the door open to a lot of thoughts. And I don't know what's up, but that's where we're at right now with that.
Wow. Boy, that's so terrible that that happened. I know people are just heartbroken, aren't they?
Well, you and I both have family members, and I felt I needed to call and let you know what's going on. And this just, you know, this is just leaving a can of worms open to speculation.
Oh, yeah.
With everything going on, you know, who are these, you know, they weren't even there at the scene. These are just, you know, they're looking for two people of special interest. What's this all about? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the first thing enters my mind. Now what? What now?
Right.
But, you know, it'll pan out, and if everybody wants to, you know, with our modern-day communications, which we don't need the electorate anymore, you can keep track of this. It's easy to keep track of anything across the world, and I really feel sorry for the people out there in Nepal and, you know, in Texas, you know, the flooding and... Boy, there's nothing worse than a flood. You can't get that mud, that particular type of dirt out of it. Anyway.
Boy, isn't that the truth? That happened with a family member of mine that lived in a place called, thanks, Grim, Bahia Vista, when they had one of those hurricanes. And they said it took forever to get the mud out of the bottom part of their house and clean it up. It was crazy, and they felt fortunate. Stay with us.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. Extendivite is a garlic cayenne supplement with five other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then Extendivite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why Extendivite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN. The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You've heard them on Alex Jones. You've seen them on Ancient Aliens. Now come see them live at Contact in the Desert 2015 in Joshua Tree this May. Experience four full days of science-centered lectures, workshops, intensives, and fieldwork on ancient astronauts, extraterrestrial intelligence, human origins, crop circles, contact experiences, UFO sightings, and more. Meet Chariots of the Gods author Eric von Daniken, Ancient Aliens host Giorgio A. Tsokalos, New York Times best-selling author David Wilcock, Dead Doctors Don't Lie author Dr. Joel Wallach, astronauts Edgar Mitchell and Story Musgrave, Earthfiles publisher Linda Moulton Howe, author Jim Mars, and many of the world's most respected researchers and scientists exploring answers to one of the greatest questions of all time. More speakers, more panels, more things to do. Join us at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center, which has a long history of sightings and contact experiences. For advanced tickets and conference schedule, go to contactinthedesert.com. That is contactinthedesert.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
I must have dreamed a thousand dreams, been haunted by a million screams, but I can hear the marching feet, they're moving into the street. Why did you read the news today? They say the danger's gone away, but I can see the fire still alight. Into the night, there's too many men, too many people, making too many problems. I'm not much left to go around.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Big shout out to all of you in those nooks and crannies. Dee McGowie joins us. She's in our virtual green room right now. We spare no expense. I hope she can expand her mind in that direction. And you're going to love her because I'll tell you, I met her in New York just about a month ago, and she has such a fascinating story. And when we're through with this interview, I want you to go check her TED Talk out because it'll just blow you away. She's such an inspiring speaker, and it's about empowerment. And she grew up in Jordan, and she talks about what that was like, and then coming to the United States, getting a degree in economics from San Diego State. Oh, San Diego State, is that a great place? And then she got an MBA, too, as well, at the University of San Diego. And we're going to talk about what it's like, Middle Eastern customs, specifically Jordan. And you know that we're thinking of taking the show to Turkey, so it should be pretty interesting education, I think, for a lot of us. Dima, as always, thanks so much for hanging with us. We appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for inviting me, Kate.
So let's go back to, I mentioned you did a TED Talk, and your TED Talk had a really good message in it. And people, you know, we live in a culture where we're a melting pot of so many different types of people with different backgrounds and upbringings in different parts of the world. And I mentioned this, that you grew up in Jordan. And when you were growing up in Jordan, what was expected of you ultimately as you grew into a young woman?
So there were a lot of things that were expected of me. One main thing that was very clear is the sense of perfection. I had to be perfect. I was not allowed to do any mistakes. I was supposed to be perfect in the way I talk, the way I dress, the way I walk. There was a lot of judgment of the culture that I lived in. And as a result, in order for my family to protect me, they were expecting for me to follow this tradition, be perfect. So one day I will grow up and pass this tradition also to somebody else or to my children.
Yeah, and you say protect you. Why? What do you mean by protect you? What if you defied that and didn't do the whole perfect thing you were supposed to do?
So the way I was raised, specifically in my family and my culture, as a woman, the first thing that I am being seen for is to get married. So from a young girl, I'm being prepared to get married. So if I am not perfect, they see it as that no man would want to marry me, and as a result, it's going to bring a shame and dishonor to my family. So when I mention about they are trying to protect me by teaching me to be perfect, by being perfect, I am able to be a young lady and be a quick catch where any man would want to marry me because I represent the culture and represent the expectations that the Middle Eastern man has.
Wow, and that's a lot to live up to, no doubt. And you said to me, and this is how we met, so everybody understands this. And when we were talking, that you, the way your eyes are, even for another woman or especially a man, you can could never. You grew up where one of the things a woman couldn't do is you couldn't look directly in someone's eyes, right?
Yes, I couldn't look in a man's eye, and I couldn't smile. So those were two of the challenges. I had so many challenges and cultural shock when I moved to the U.S. Those were so hard because here people are used to having eye contact. It's actually not respectful for you to talk to somebody and not look at them in the eye. So
yeah,
I had a lot of issues with that. Go ahead.
Yeah, we say that, I was just going to jump in there and say, you're right. We, in the United States, it's kind of a sign of somebody being shifty, that we don't think they're maybe necessarily telling us the truth when we're talking to them if they don't look you in the eye enough and there's not enough eye contact. So let's fast forward. What made you come to the United States and what was your family's reaction when you decided to come to the United States?
Okay. So I got engaged when I was 19, got married when I was 20, and moved with my ex-husband to the U.S. And this is how the whole story or the major transformation happened. I moved to San Diego with him, and we started our life there. It was interesting living in San Diego because here I am in the land of the free, the land that I've always dreamed of living in, but somehow I was still living in the U.S. in the Middle East somehow, because I was still surrounded by my culture. I was still surrounded by the same expectations. I thought when I first moved that things will be different, that somehow I'm going to be empowered. Somehow I'm going to be able to voice my opinion and have dreams and pursue these dreams just because I am located in the U.S. But I was so shocked to realize that regardless where I was, it didn't matter because I was still surrounded by the same culture. And at the same time, being away from the Middle East, the expectations and the restrictions became even harder and harder.
Wow. So then you just knew in your heart, right, that this wasn't the right life for you. At some point, you realized that, right?
It took a a while. It took about 4 years and a half for me to realize this. I'm a person who gives a lot of chances. And initially when I first moved, I didn't know any better. I didn't know who I was. I didn't have self-confidence. I spoke not very well English. And it was very tough to go through that transformation. But as I got into my undergraduate and had my first job, that's when I started really observing everybody around me. And I was fascinated. I remember even one time walking to apply for San Diego State for my undergraduate. And I was watching all the students that were there. And I just honestly just stopped and said to myself, I wish I'm just like them, because they look so confident. They look happy. They seemed empowered. So now when I go back to school, I see just young students, and most likely they're confused about life and they don't know what they're doing. But somehow at that moment, they were my role models. All I wanted was to be like them, and all I wanted was to be like everybody I was surrounded with. So it was interesting, the whole transformation, where I started and where I am right now.
So where you are right now, one of the things you did when you first were working, and you know, you got divorced and that's sad and all that, but you knew it was the right thing for you, as so many of our listeners, we talk about that, men and women, mixed in with all our political talk and everything else that's going on. But you, once you knew that, you make the leap and you change your life. When you're working, Dima, you and I had this conversation, you said this too, that one of the things is you don't smile, you can't smile, so you don't look men in the eyes and you don't smile. And when you were at work, did people start to notice that you weren't smiling?
Yes. So my first job was a teller at Bank of America. So imagine going to Bank of America tomorrow and working with a teller who cannot look at your eyes because she's so uncomfortable, barely speaking English, and doesn't smile.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Me. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was me barely knowing how to do the transaction too. So what my boss did, which I love it, she used to bring sticky notes and draw on them happy faces and put them all over my monitor. And every time I would be doing a transaction, of course, I would see the sticky notes. But she would make sure she keeps going around the bank and looks at me and makes happy faces. So I would be just smiling and remembering that I need to smile when I'm in public. So it took a while, but now I just cannot stop smiling.
Oh, I love that. So the biggest, so you do the TED Talk and it pulls this whole thing together, and your family now compared to when you first made that break, what was that transition like? Because it's very hard to tell grandparents or family members, parents, that, yeah, I'm not going to go this route anymore. I'm doing something completely different. Did they rebel against that, kind of push back against that, and now they embrace it?
That was the hardest part. And when I think about the divorce, it wasn't really just the divorce of the marriage. It was the divorce of the entire family and culture. Because what happened is my decision was not well taken by my family, especially my dad. He considered that he would not allow his daughter to have the title next to her name, which is divorced. Because that's what people talk about in the Middle East. Oh, Dima, she's divorced. So that's automatically gonna be linked to me. And he just couldn't take that. So what happened, it was the hardest thing, because he decided to kill me, because he believes that getting a divorce is going to bring a dishonor to my family.
Right.
And he believes that blood clears any dishonor. And he decided as a result that he wanted to kill me. So I still have life threats. I haven't been to Jordan for 14 years. I haven't talked to my dad for 14 years. And I don't know how the story is going to end with him, but in my case, I have forgiveness for him. I have forgiveness for myself. And it's just that by itself is enough for now.
Well, hang on a second. Dima, can you stick through with us?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to come back with more with Dima Gowie just a second from now on America Tonight.
And striving as fast as we can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left him in the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turn and thinking of someone for.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Attention. Do you owe money to the IRS or have years of unfiled returns? Are you being audited or receiving threatening letters? If the answer is yes, you need help. The IRS can seize your property and assets, impose fines and penalties, garnish your wages, and even go after your bank account. Don't take on the IRS by yourself. Don't let the IRS destroy your life. Take action now. Call our team of experts for a free and confidential initial evaluation. We've helped thousands resolve their tax problems. Let us help you. 800-261-7073. 800-261-7073.
Hi, it's MZ from KSCO in Santa Cruz, and I'm too excited to sleep. Have you ever been too excited to sleep? In my case, I can't sleep because I'm engaged in my own fun, wonderful, rewarding business in which I do well and do good, lots of good at the same time. The wheels in my head are always turning, coming up with creative ideas to grow this business and to share it with others, train them for free, and get them to my level of success and excitement. This business has no employees, no rent, and no advertising cost. It's a people business that uses phones, video, email, and online technology to spread a very valuable and timely message about health, wealth, and above all, independence. You can get started in this business with as little as $10, but if you can afford an additional one-time charge of $500, you can jumpstart your success. And it doesn't cost anything to watch a 17-minute video all about this amazing business that you too can join and start doing well and do a lot of good at the same time. Go online to this website, TooExcitedToSleep.net. That's TooExcitedToSleep.net. TooExcitedToSleep.net.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of the 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
differences between somebody who grows up in the Middle East and coming to the United States, and how she was with a Jordanian husband and then decided to divorce him. And Dima, you mentioned that your father wanted to kill you because that brings dishonor to your family by doing that, and it's been 14 years and you haven't, am I right, you haven't had any contact with him, and you would be concerned about going back to Jordan, right?
Yes.
Wow. And how tough is that, though, for you? How frustrating.
It's very frustrating. It's very tough. It's, you know, the parents are very important to any person, regardless of the culture. That's the root. That's the support. They offer security and the foundation that help us to be who we're supposed to be. And taking that away, I just felt that I was just flying in the sky with no foundation. And really, my foundation, if any, was the one that's turning against me. So it was very difficult. Initially, and for years, it took me so long to go through a healing process. And part of the healing process is to go through self-discovery. It enabled me for the first time ever to question, who am I? Why am I on this earth? And what is the purpose behind it? So as sad as the story is, I know I was born for a reason. There's a purpose behind it. And not just for my healing. It is for me to take this story and inspire others and also work with them to help them break their limitations and discover what they are supposed to be doing in this life. Initially, I used to think that I'm the only one with issues with family or with self-confidence or various things that were stopping me and all the limitations, whether they're cultural or whether it is things that I impose on myself. Until I got in leadership roles, and then I discovered that I'm not the only one. There's so many people having issues. There's so many people living with limitations. A lot of these limitations are internal, where it's a voice in their head that's telling them that they're not good enough or they're not smart enough. And now I believe part of my role in this world is to show them by example that you can break it all. You can be the person you're supposed to be. You have a choice. And it could be very painful. It's going to come with a lot of consequences, especially when you're doing things that are outside the norm culturally. But looking back, it is so worth it. I look back now, it's been 14, almost 15 years, and I say to myself, like, if I only knew how great life is going to be, I would not have cried.
Wow. So now, because of the years and the time and the things that you've experienced, you're loving it. I mean, you're loving being in America, enjoying, like you said, that freedom, because you're really embracing it, right?
Right. And the main part that I love is how I can help others too. So this is where it brings a lot of healing to me. So again, it's not just about me. I achieved a lot in the last 14 years. I got into leadership roles, lived and traveled around the world, and there's a lot of things that I would never have imagined. I feel so happy where I am right now, but I think it's not about me. This story is about helping to heal. And I look at it mainly also to help heal women in the Middle East. It breaks my heart to think about or to hear about ISIS and what's going on right now in the Middle East. It's like beyond imagination. We're in year 2015 and we're still experiencing these things. So that's why I believe that this didn't happen out of the blue. There's something I'm supposed to be doing, and I am being prepared for it. So I'm very open, and I can't wait to contribute and help all kinds of women and men to have a better life.
Yeah, you bring up ISIS. Do you think there's a lot of women in the Middle East who would love to get out of that situation?
Yes. I know a lot. I'm still in communication with so many people in the Middle East. I still mentor a lot of women and also men. And the challenge is that they cannot move to the U.S. They cannot move outside their country, whether it's Syria or Jordan, and they just have to deal with the situation. And that's why in many cases when we say, Be positive. Be happy. You have control over your life. And this is great when you're living, like, in the U.S. But when you're living in some other countries where you are forced to do things that you may not agree with, you're afraid about your security, you can't leave your home without watching every step, it becomes very, very difficult. And it doesn't really totally apply.
Yeah, I completely understand that in some of the conversations that I've had with some women in the Middle East. So then you take this to the TED Talk, and what was it like? Because a lot of people listening would love to maybe in their life do a TED Talk, but what was it like for you to get on the stage and actually do that? Were you a little bit nervous?
It was the most amazing and the most terrifying experience. So I'm very private, and I don't talk usually about my story unless if it is to very close friends. So when I started working on my TEDx and I was selected, I wanted to talk about everything in the world but my story. So I wrote 3 speeches before I wrote the last one, and it was mainly about my experience in global leadership and cultural understanding and everything totally not related to me. But somehow the speech kept transitioning, and I wasn't satisfied with them, even though they were great, they were approved by the TEDx organizers, but I just didn't feel connected with the message. I felt that I needed to give something stronger, until I got to a point where I started writing my story, and I was very terrified. Until the day of the event, I was questioning, do I really want to open up? What if people think it's not a big deal? What if I feel rejected? It's the same negative things we always think about. What if I mess up? And it's a lot of negative things. However, I have or had an amazing support network of friends who helped me step by step and kept encouraging me that I am on the right path and confirming that. I feel they even, like, almost dragged me to the stage to give the speech. And I am so glad I did. I had people that I never met before email me or send me messages on Facebook telling me that they were crying when they watched the TEDx story because they felt so connected with it. And the most thing that I was amazed with, that it wasn't just women in the Middle East. There were men in India and people from all around the world reaching out. And I felt for the first time, yes, I am on the right path. And I need to do more of those things to help connect with people and really, in a way, hold the mirror to them and show them you can do it too.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I mean, and it has to be empowering to you, right? Because you get something, as you said, it's more than just about you. You get something in return, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. Every time we give, you get something.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. So, Dima, if somebody wants to see your TED Talk, I think it's pretty easy to find it, but it's always good to lead people down the path. How can they find it?
What they need to do is go to YouTube and type my name, and it is, the first name is D-I-M-A, and last name is G-H-A-W-I. And for anyone who watches it, I would love to hear what you think, and I would love to be connected with you.
Yeah, it's always good to get that feedback, absolutely, because we see that the TEDx and the TED Talks are getting bigger and bigger, and it's interesting what some of the subject matter is. There's, you know, no question about that. Dima, what a pleasure to have you on America tonight. Boy, we've really enjoyed it. We can't wait until you get that book out, by the way. We'll have you back on when you publish your story.
Sounds great. Yes, it's coming up. So the book is in the process of being written. I am the person who's going to write it. Initially, I thought, wow, I'm so busy and I'm traveling everywhere. Maybe I should bring somebody, a ghostwriter, to write this. But the decision is I am the person who's going to officially write it. And I started the process. I am planning to have it done by the end of the year.
Woohoo! All right, we'll look for that. Dima Gowie, thanks so much for coming on America tonight. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Kate. Bye-bye.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.